You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
Well, hey, let's dig into our message series here. We're in the second installment of what is really a large conversation that we're having. Really, this is just one gigantic sermon that's going to take about 8 different messages to preach. And so I know there's going to be times where we kind of feel like we're going somewhere and we stop. You know, it's because it's just, again, each message is kind of a puzzle piece to really create a true, beautiful picture of what a relationship looks like with the Holy Spirit, who we believe does not get the focus that He truly deserves in the church. And so we really look forward to discovering, as we talked about last week, the God that I never knew, the God that we get the opportunity to know. And we pray that last week was a blessing to your life. If you missed the message for any reason, we always encourage you to check the podcast or even, which is on the app there, or you can even go online on our Facebook page where we have archived now videos of the service, as we have people joining us right now online on Facebook that couldn't be here this morning. It's an honor to be able to share each message and archive each message, so we trust it'll be a blessing to you. The title of today's message, as we venture to know more about the Holy Spirit, is called The Grand Entry. The Grand Entry. And the reason for that title is we're going to look at the grand entry of the Holy Spirit into mankind as shown and described and documented in Acts chapter 2. So if you got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn them right now to Acts chapter 2. If you don't got them, don't worry. We've got the scriptures for you on the screen, or if you're following along with us on the app, we have all the scriptures that we use in these messages there for you as well. The grand entry. And as we look at the grand entry of the Holy Spirit into mankind, we're going to look at the day of Pentecost, which is really where we see Acts chapter 2 kicking off. Now, before we go any further, I believe it's very important that we understand this word right here, Pentecost. And the reason I say that is many of us more than likely have a different impression of the word Pentecost when we hear it, more so than we probably have in the actual scriptural definition of the word. For instance, when you hear the word Pentecost, you probably think of a Pentecostal church or a Pentecostal denomination. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing that you think about those things, you know, because I've heard people say, like, man, that's a weird word right there. And I'm like, why is that a weird word? And they're like, well, isn't that snake handling, you know what I'm saying, poison drinking, holy rolling people, tongue-talking people, like in that them. And I say, listen, that's not what the word Pentecost means. It's important that we know that there is a raw scriptural definition to this word, and there's a raw scriptural definition to this moment that we see taught in the Bible and honored in the Bible routinely, particularly here on the day of Pentecost. And really, it has tremendous potential, if we allow it to radically affect all of our lives in a very powerful way. And I don't mean in a snake handling, poison drinking way. So we're going to answer 3 questions. So let's dig into the first one here. What is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this. When the day of, let's all say it together, Pentecost came. It says, they, being the disciples of Jesus and about 109 others, there's 120 total people, says, we're all together in one place. And let's just stop there. It says, when the day of Pentecost came. The word Pentecost isn't a weird word at all. It literally means 50th. That's what it means. If you break the word down in two, penta means 5, koste, where we see in the Greek, it means to the 10th power. It means 50th. So it's a mathematical term. It means 50th. And what it's referring to is an annual celebration. that God commanded for the people of Israel to have. See, the people of Israel often celebrated. They actually had seven feasts that they would gather and celebrate for, three of them being the major feasts that they would celebrate throughout the year that they were commanded to. Jews scattered all over the world were commanded to head back to Jerusalem and celebrate these feasts. And there were three major feasts that they celebrated, those three being Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Passover was celebrated on the first month of the Jewish calendar year. Pentecost was celebrated on the third month of the Jewish calendar year. It was a feast. And Tabernacles was celebrated on the seventh month of the Jewish calendar year. Ironically, today is actually the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles today. So, I mean, it's still being celebrated today in Jewish culture. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. These were times again when the people of Israel would all come together and there would be feasts that surrounded these celebrations, rituals, biblical practices inside of each of them that God commanded them to do. Again, way back in the Old Testament, and they honored it. It was really awesome. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Passover, Pentecost, it's important to note, really the name 50th, the reason it is because it happens exactly 50 days after Passover. Exactly 50 days. Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks, and that is because back in Leviticus, God said, the day after Passover, count 7 weeks, 49 days, and I want you to celebrate this feast that has its own purposes there. So when you see in verse 1 of Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, all they're saying, according to the definition of the word, is it's been 50 days since Passover, wherein it's now time for the Feast of Pentecost. Now, before the day of Pentecost came here in Acts chapter 2, Jesus, who had already been crucified, Jesus, who had already resurrected, is about to ascend into heaven. But before he does, he has this conversation with his disciples. And we see, if you actually back up into the previous chapter in Acts, what that conversation was. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem." He says, "Guys, I'm leaving, but don't go anywhere. I don't want you to do anything but this one thing. I want you to wait." Isn't that what it says? Wait for the what? The gift. Other translations may say, for the promise my Father has for you. And he starts to kind of tell them, in the next verse, he gives them a little description about what this gift looks like. He goes, y'all remember John, right? The Baptist. It says when he would baptize you in water. The word baptism is just another word that I think we make too churchy. The word baptism just means to immerse fully in. It just means, you know, that's when we baptize, you're under the water. You are immersed in that water. For John baptized with water. Y'all remember that moment? The disciples are like, yeah, we remember that moment. He says, all right, understand that, because here, let me tell you about this gift. In a few days, he says, you will be in the same way baptized, immersed, soaking wet with the Holy Spirit of God. Can you imagine hearing that as disciples? Like, wow. Like, that's going to be wild. And Jesus is like, it's coming. And he says, and when that happens, Jesus said, look at verse 8, you will receive what? Power when it happens. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, when this moment comes, when it happens. And he says, and as a result of it, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and it's not going to end there. You'll be my witnesses throughout the entire known world. Like, this experience you're going to have, you're not going to be able to hold it in. You're not going to be able to contain it. You're going to take this experience global. This is going to shake the foundations of the world. And Jesus then, after saying this, immediately ascends into heaven to not be seen again. The disciples then do what Jesus commanded them to do. They wait. They seek. They pray. They wait. They seek. They pray for this promise, this baptism, this immersion in the Holy Spirit to come and be experienced in their lives. And as if you look from Acts 1:10 all the way up to Acts 2:1, they weren't doing anything else but waiting, but seeking, but inviting. And then it comes. It happens. This moment. And the Holy Spirit decides to show up, the Bible says, Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost came. Now, let me give you one more thing about Pentecost. It was also known as a feast of harvest. They called it the Feast of Harvest as well. And it was a time when the people of Israel would come, again, from everywhere. I was encouraged to study this, and I did, and I found out this was pretty wild. In that Pentecost, and I actually found it through NASA and their understanding of archaic understandings of ancient culture and weather patterns. This is pretty wild. That Pentecost was actually the most attended of all the feasts in a Jewish calendar year. And it was interesting because of the weather patterns. Like, it was pretty wild. You see a lot of stormy weather around the springtime and the fall, like that, you know, because in order for Jews scattered all over the world to come, they often had to make their way through sea and travel. And so if you got choppy seas, it's going to be hard to make it in. And so there were many Jews that couldn't make it in for some of these feasts. But Pentecost, it was always calm weather, always calm seas. And meaning Pentecost was often the most highly attended of all the feasts, again, because of the weather patterns of the day that allowed it. So if you got the best weather conditions, that's going to give way to the best travel opportunities. And if you get the best travel opportunities, that's going to give way to the best crowds. I want you to think about this in the context of what I'm just saying. I want you to think about this in the context of what's about to happen here in this moment with the Holy Spirit being poured out. It's almost as if God wanted to ensure when this happened was at a place where everybody was going to be here in this moment. Where everybody was going to be gathered on the day of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost surrounded the people of Israel coming and giving what God commanded in the context of special offerings. Because they would get new grain in the summer. The summer wheat harvest, they called it, was the latter day harvest. And this was something that God commanded them to do. Hey, take your latter day harvest. I want you to come bring it to Jerusalem. I want you to give it to me. Give thanks for this harvest. Give thanks to me. There are so many places the Bible nerd in me just wants to stop and teach right now, but I can't because we'll be here all day long. So here they are on this feast, celebrating it. Jews from all over the nation, and something insane happens, which leads us to our second question. What happened on the day of Pentecost? What happened on the day of Pentecost? Let's check this out. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples of Jesus were all together in one place. That place being, if you really kind of look at it, was his house. They were up the upper floor of this house, jammed in 120 people in this place. And it says this, they're waiting on the promise of Jesus. They're waiting on what Jesus said was going to come, the Holy Spirit. And verse 2, and we understand just, they've been waiting about 8 days for this. And it says in verse 2, suddenly, get ready, the Holy Spirit's about to show up here. It says, there came a sound from heaven. And here's what the sound was. It was the sound as of, the Bible says, a rushing, mighty wind. I like the Amplified translation of it, and it says, a violent tempest blast. I'm talking the sound of an F5 coming in to an atmosphere. I mean, can you imagine being in this moment? And it says this sound filled the whole house where they were sitting. Can you imagine what that was like in that moment while you're just sitting there waiting, and all of a sudden the sound of an F5 just comes into the atmosphere? You're just like looking around, it's sunny out, like, what the heck is going on, right? Like, this has got to be an insane moment right here. And then it says in verse 3, there appeared to them, the people gathered, divided tongues. Another translation says, individual tongues as of fire. Have you ever seen a tongue on fire? Me neither. So this has got to be a crazy looking scene right now. Just, bah, whatever the things are. Like, this is crazy stuff. And it says this, that it appeared, just appeared in the middle of nowhere, and then it's one sat on each of them. Can you imagine in that moment? Like, all this stuff, and you're like, what the heck is coming? You know, what is this moment like for these guys? and one sat on each of them. And it wasn't so much about that as what happened in verse 4 where it says, and they were all filled with, they were all baptized with, immersed in, soaking wet with the Holy Spirit. And what happened after that is really insane, as it says they all began to speak with other tongues, or as we say today, languages, as the Spirit of God enabled them to, or as we see here, gave them utterance. Now, think about this experience and how insane that is. To experience. Now check out verse 5. It says there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven, right? We understand that, right? Pentecost, that's why. Remember the feast? Everybody's here. And verse 6 says, when this sound occurred, this sound that we see in verse 2, when this sound occurred, because apparently what was happening to the disciples was so loud that everybody is hearing it around. This wind sound, this moment is so loud, it is gathering everybody in the community around this place, this location. And it says that everyone came together. Everyone surrounded this place. And the Bible says that when they got there, they were what? Confused. Everybody got there and they're like scratching their head confused. Why? It says because every person gathered in Jerusalem here for the Feast of Pentecost heard the disciples of Jesus and those other people that were gathered in that upper room experiencing the Holy Spirit. They heard those guys speaking in their languages. And they were amazed at that. They were marveled at that. They were looking at each other saying, how is this happening? What in the heck is going on? Now, no, that isn't in there. That's the Jesse edition to the Bible. Amen. But it says they're amazed and they're like, what the heck's going on? Aren't these guys who are speaking Galileans? And the reason they say that is because it was widely understood that the Galilean people were an uneducated people. They're basically like, these guys barely know how to speak their own language. Let alone, you know what I'm saying? It's like somebody from Alabama. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like, they don't got English down really well. And I apologize if you're from Alabama. But anyway, here's the thing. I'm just a bitter Ohio State fan. That's all I am. But, you know, these guys are like, these guys barely understand their one language, let alone how are they speaking other languages so beautifully, so perfectly. What in the world's going on? How is it that we hear them in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Then in the next couple of verses, if you look at verse 9 and 10 and the first part of 11, they start listing the languages that they're hearing these guys speak in. These guys didn't know this language. They're just able to speak these languages of all people. Look at verse 11. Kind of, it starts off by showing they're speaking Crete. They're speaking Arabic. Look at this. It says this. We hear them speak in our tongues, what? The wonderful works of God. This is just one of those moments you just got to stop when you're reading the Bible and just scratch your head and go, wow, what am I reading here? Like Journey Church, this is a powerful moment that's happening here. And I want us to think about this, and I want us to view this from an angle maybe that you've not viewed it. Because here in this moment, you have countless people, thousands, and thousands gathered who all speak different languages, right? The Bible says that every language under heaven is represented here. Every language on earth is represented in this moment. And these guys just all happened to be together in one place at the same time because of the Feast of Pentecost. Like, how many know, again, God set them up for what was happening? They're all hearing the exact same message. Think about this. All people, all languages, one message. All being understood at the same time. Now, if you think about that just a little deeper, that scene right there, this is why I love what Robert Morris says in his book. He says, is the exact opposite scene we see in the Old Testament. in Genesis chapter 11. Anybody know what I'm referring to? With the Tower of Babel, where the Bible says that they all spoke how many languages? One language. There was just one language that everybody spoke. They all understood each other. And it says this, obviously you got one language, we're all going to understand. They were all gathered together in the same place, not, however, in honor of the traditions of God. They weren't gathered in honor of the commands of God. They were not gathered for the purpose of blessing the name of God. They were gathered rather to make a name for themselves. They were gathered rather to let God know, we don't need you any longer. We can do life without you. They were gathered in rebellion. They were gathered in pride. They were gathered in enmity against God. And look at what God said in response to their gathering. Because here they are. They're like, we're going to build a tower to the heavens. Take over this thing, y'all. This is about us. And look at what God says in response to this moment in Genesis 11. Look at verse 6. The Lord said as they're doing this, wow, if as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this. I mean, look at what they're building. He says, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. God knows when people gather together underneath the same cause. God knows when people gather together around the same purpose, nothing can stop them from accomplishing it. And as a result of that, the Bible says that God confused their language and scattered them all over the world. The Bible says to a point where they were not able to understand each other. They couldn't understand one another anymore. Can you imagine what that was like? Now let's fast forward back to the day of Pentecost, because there's something powerful here. For the first time in 4,000 years, they, the people of God, all understand the same message at the same time. I like what Robert Moore says when he says it's almost like the day of Pentecost was a blessed reversal at the curse at Babel. Because God sees his people gathered together, not in rebellion or pride this time. Here at Pentecost, they are gathered together now with the right hearts. They are gathered together in honor of God. They are gathered together in ultimate unity to honor the name of God, not the names of themselves. And God, knowing what can happen when people are gathered together in unity, right? What did God say in verse 6 of Genesis 11? Nothing can stop you when you are gathered together around the same cause. And it was here where God decided to bless them with the gift, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, let this be your cause that you gather around. Let this be the purpose from which you gather. Let this be the result, and you take this experience with you, and nothing will be able to stop you. And I can tell you this, if you understand church history, from this moment nothing did stop them, because from this moment the gospel message spread to the entire known world in the lifetime of these people. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It's a powerful moment where God said, I'm no longer going to allow the language barrier to be the walls that stop you from understanding my love. My heart is going to be for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on all flesh. And that moment right there was evident that he transcended the language barrier to let you know that the gospel's coming in your language, and it's coming in your language, and the love of Jesus is going to be understood in this language and that language and this language and this language. Look out, world, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out into the earth. What a moment that began on the day of Pentecost. If I look excited, it's because I am. I love this stuff right here, which leads me to question 3. Can I experience what happened on the day of Pentecost in my life today? I've heard that asked to me a few times. That's a good question. Because it's 2018. I mean, it's 2,000 plus years since this moment happened. So can I get in on this, man? Can I get on this train too? Can I experience this for my life, or was this just for them back then? Let's answer that question. Let's answer it by looking at it. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when the Holy Spirit is poured out in that house. It says this in verse 4. It says they were what? Let's all say that together. All, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit. What does all mean? It means every. Let me say it this way. All means there wasn't one left out. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody got this experience. Now, let's go on, because you just dig into verse 37 through 39. And this is talking about the disciples' experience that they all got it. But what about everybody else that was outside the house that heard it and the thousands that were gathered? Check this out. Verse 37 says, when they, all the people outside the house, heard this sound, heard this experience, saw it, witnessed it, it says, all these people, right? It says, when they saw it, when they heard it, when they experienced it, it says they were cut to the heart. Meaning they were impacted at the heart level. Like, whoa, something was pulling them to want it for themselves. And it says that they said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what about us? What shall we do? What can we do to experience what it is that we see you've experienced? Look at what Peter says to him in verse 38. You want this? Number one, repent. See, if I'm taking notes, to receive the Holy Spirit of God like they did at Pentecost, here's what Peter's saying. Number one, repent. Repent. What does that mean? To turn. Quit living your life for yourself. Start living your life for Jesus. Give him your sins. Give him your life. Give him your past. Give him your struggles. Give him your failures. Give him you. I'm going to walk in your direction. I'm going to start following Christ. Repent. He says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? He's talking about water baptism in that moment. In other words, take that experience, repent, take it into your life, and then be baptized and show others how serious you are about that commitment. Repent and be baptized. Do that first and foremost, Peter's saying, and you can't even think about an experience like this until you know Jesus. And then he says, after you do that, look at this. You shall receive. There's a green light. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You want to give you more powerful? He says in verse 39, for this promise, Peter's saying, that I heard Jesus tell me personally in Acts 1, except he didn't say Acts 1, that I heard Jesus tell me personally was going to be for us. Check this out. He says this. Is for you too. It is for you, and it is for your children, and to, here's this awesome word again, all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. That's good news. And just two verses later, it says that 3,000 of those people, in response to what Peter just said, made a decision to repent, made a decision to follow Jesus, made a decision to be baptized. Scripture says that 3,000 people were added to the church that day, and they then invited that same experience into their own life. And I don't know what your Bible says, but the headline right after that on the page of my Bible says, the church grows rapidly. Why? Because of what Peter said to the 3,000. This just isn't for us, y'all. This is for you. This is for your children. This is for your families. This is for your friends. This is for your community. This is for your country. This incredible promise is for everybody to experience. The day of Pentecost has served to be a global promise of what He wants the Holy Spirit to accomplish in the earth through all people. Verse 39 says, and to all who are afar off. Can I just say this? I'm included and you're included in all. If you believe you're included in that all, would you say a good amen in this place this morning? This promise is very much for you today. The reason I say this is that the promises of God will always coincide with the reach of the cross. They will always travel next to, hold hands with the reach of the cross, which is for everyone, past, present, and future. And we're going to dig into that more even next week. I can't wait. Fast forward and get me there. My goodness, this promise is for you. So here's a good question to close on for you that I have. If this promise is for you, then what's stopping you from experiencing it? If you've received Jesus as your Savior, if you've repented, you've been baptized in water, why not take opportunity starting today to seek after this incredible promise of God that made its grand entry on the day of Pentecost and allow it to make its grand entry into your life today? I'm telling you, Journey Church, it's a powerful thing that I don't believe you can live out this faith race without. Can I just tell you this? And I told you this last week, so can I tell you this again? 2 weeks ago, I found out that I've now been serving Jesus Christ for 25 years. That I was 25 years ago I made a decision for Jesus. And ever since then, I've been walking after Him, following Him every single step. I have just been giving Him the greatest efforts I can be. But can I tell you this? The only way I could have done that, the only way I have done that, isn't by any strength in my life. The only way I've done that is through the power of the Holy Spirit that's given me the strength to take steps on days I didn't feel like I had any strength to take a step. I cannot count how many times I've wanted to give up and throw the towel in on my faith in the last 25 years. I can't count. Storms come and struggles happen. People betray you, and you know what I'm talking about. Stuff we all experience. People of faith, right? That just, It's those times where you're just like, man, I want to keep doing this. No, I don't. Every time I just almost want to turn my life and head in a different direction, something grabs onto me and propels me through those storms, and propels me through those quitting moments. It's like a new strength takes over in my life, a new power possesses my being and pushes me to keep following. And that's the Holy Spirit of God, who I remember a few weeks after I made a decision for Jesus, was told, hey, don't try and run this faith race without the power of the Holy Spirit. Open your heart, invite Him in, and let Him immerse you in His power, because His power is the only thing that's going to get you to finish this marathon called Christianity. And I remember that moment when the Holy Spirit just took over my being and changed my life. And I live by His faith. I put my faith in Him. I live my faith walk out by His power. And that's the only reason I'm still standing here today. And as a pastor, it hurts my heart. And I know you and your heart, so I know this hurts your heart too. But it hurts when I see people who have come in this church, and forget just Journey Church, but just the church in general, who repent. They make a decision to follow Jesus, They even get water baptized. And then a few weeks later, you don't see them again. You talk to them. I tried it. It just didn't work. And they just walk away. I prayed about that. You know what the Lord spoke to? I was thinking about that. Just the Lord told me, he's like, they never waited for that promise for them. They're trying to live out. They're trying to run their race on their own strength and power. And I guarantee you the fuel in your car will run out. I promise you that. The strength in your body will run out. The strength in your heart will run out. The power of the Holy Spirit's the only way you can make it. And I know that's why many people just don't make it. They don't allow themselves to be immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit that will get you through every quitting point. I promise you that.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.